Welcome to the Recapture Your Life podcast with Steve Crenshaw.
Welcome back. This week we're going to be talking about ways we can tame our inner critic. You know, humans have studied our thoughts for thousands of years. Buddhists call it our ever-talking mind, the monkey mind. And the desert monks called it logismoi, spelled L-O-G-I-S-M-O-I, which is our thoughts or our imagination. Today we call it our stream of consciousness or our thought life. The most recent studies from Queen's University in Ontario, Canada, says that we have about 6,200 thoughts per day. And in previous decades, studies have said that we have 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, whether it's 6,000 or 60,000, I don't know about you, but about 80 to 90% for most people are negative. And while these aren't necessarily what we call the inner critic, they all lead us to our inner critic. There are people who use this inner critic voice as a compass. We use it as an example of why we can't do something, why we shouldn't do something. We may say it keeps us in line or it keeps our beliefs in line with the world as we perceive it. But changing that kind of thinking is tough. Looking at ourselves in depth is not a process many of us want to do. But if we're going to silence or at least change our inner critic, it's going to take repeated behavior. It didn't start overnight, so it's not going to end in a single podcast. The Persian physician Ibn Sina, spelled I-B-N-S-I-N-A, said, "The power of thoughts can cause you either illness or recovery." That was around the year 1000. In the early 20th century, philosopher and car manufacturer Henry Ford said, "Whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right." So when we say, "I can't do X," or "I can't sing, I'm not able to be on time, I can't lose weight," we're reaffirming the negative self-talk and our bad voice wins. When we repeat it, it becomes our outer critic, our expression of what we truly believe about ourselves. When we say something out loud, we have bought into it wholeheartedly, even if it's not true. And most of what we say to ourselves isn't true. Most negative thoughts we tell ourselves come from our childhood and adolescent years, but we can develop negative self-talk as adults. But our inner critic is more than likely a voice from our past. A parent, a friend, a teacher, a significant other, a partner, who has said something to us that we took to heart. And just like the negative self-talk has been learned, it can be unlearned. You can learn to talk to yourself in a way that isn't critical or belittling. It is possible to give yourself personal support and to talk to yourself motivationally. You can become your own life coach through the words you use when you talk to yourself. The first thing you need to realize in changing your thoughts is you're not perfect. Our inner critic wants us to be perfect. It wants everything to go as planned. It wants us to be superhuman. We will never be good enough to supplant our inner critic. So we have to realize that we are human and none of us are perfect. We are good enough, and anyone who tells us otherwise is the liar. Your self-worth does not come from what you think. Your self-worth comes from being a unique and unrepeatable human being, just like everybody else. We idolize people who do the things that we want to do, and our inner critic takes those people and what little we know about them and turns them into the perfect example of what we're supposed to be, when all the while, those people are just people. When I first became a coach, I wanted to be Tony Robbins or Jack Canfield. What I didn't realize was that those people aren't perfect. Tony and Jack aren't perfect people. Jim Rohn was not perfect, but he was a great speaker. They had to work to get where they are. And if I want to be like them, I have to put in the work to get there. But today I'm happy to say I'm happy being Steve Crenshaw. Because when I'm me, I'm being the best example that I can be to the people I coach and the people who listen to this podcast or read what I write. Realizing we're not perfect will help quiet the storm of negativity and bring it to a point where we can heal. We can begin to deal with the words we use when we talk to ourselves. You may have heard of Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen calls our negative thoughts ants, automatic negative thoughts. And what he says is, we have to kill the ants. So how do we kill the ants? Well, we have to realize that they're there. Where I live in Florida, we have fire ants. And fire ants can be on you and biting you before you know they're there. The same is true with negative thoughts. But like Dr. Amen said, once you know that you have them, you can start to kill them and start to take care of them. Most of our negative thoughts are what is called cognitive distortions. And a great book on overcoming these is by Dr. David Burns called The Feeling Good Handbook. Cognitive distortions are thoughts like all or nothing thinking. When you use words like always, never, nobody, everybody, or every time. And you say things like, I'll never get the raise, nobody loves me, every time I say something, he shoots me down. Another cognitive distortion is always jumping to conclusions or catastrophizing events. This is 100 times worse today than it was when Dr. Burns first wrote his book. And that's me catastrophizing. With our constant barrage of news and social media that washes over us every day, many people are convinced that the world is going to end tomorrow. The good news is, even if it does, we can't do anything about it. Other forms of negative self-talk that we have to realize are labeling. This is when you say things like, I've always been this way, I'm this, I'm an idiot, or guilt tripping. When you say things like, I should have been doing this, or I have to do that. And these are just a few of the negative things we can say to ourselves. But when we recognize them and begin to replace them with positive thoughts, when the ants pop up, it's time to kill the ants, and you can start in several ways. First way is, get off social media and turn off the news. I know that's not what a lot of people want to hear, but getting off of social media and turning off the news is almost like getting off of something else you're addicted to. It's like stopping drinking or getting off of drugs. That's because the rush of dopamine we get from the little bell when we get notified, the little ding on our phone, causes a rush of dopamine. It's that anticipation of what's at the end of that bell. Another reason we want to stay on social media and watch the news every day is because we want to fit in. We want to keep up to date with what's going on in the world. What it actually does is amplifies our cognitive distortions. The more negative things we hear from the news, the more we believe something bad is going to happen to us. It is that vicious cycle where we find everything that we're looking for. If you believe something bad is everywhere you look, you're going to see it. And when we stop social media and stop watching the news, our mind begins to clear out and we can think more positively about the world and not have to look at it in such a bad way. Now, I'm not saying nothing bad ever happens. What I'm saying is we can't change it. We can't possibly stop anything bad from happening. What we can stop is worrying about it on a regular basis. So once we get off the social media, the second way to kill the ants is to start telling yourself something positive. You can do this by leaving yourself messages on post-it notes or 3x5 cards. I have a 3x5 card in front of my monitor that asks, how is your thinking? Another way is to write down every negative thought you think about. Keep a journal about what you say to yourself. And this method really forces you to look at what you're thinking most of the time. If you spend a day journaling what you say to yourself, you will be amazed at how many things negative you tell yourself. The next part is taking time for yourself. Take control of your thoughts by meditating. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm going to give you some examples of what my meditation looks like. This is just my example. At the start of the pandemic, my wife and I were supposed to go to Europe on a Viking cruise for our 25th wedding anniversary. They literally shut down flights 2 days before we were supposed to leave. I won't say I was a wreck, but I was not happy. What I did was, I found an online meditation group and I joined it. Up until that point, I had used an app called Insight Timer. And according to Insight Timer, I had 47 days of meditation between January of 2017 and March of 2020. Since that day, I have meditated almost every day, and it has been one of the things I can contribute to changing the way I think. One of the best books I've read on meditation is 10% Happier by Dan Harris. If you've tried meditation and it didn't work because you couldn't tame your thoughts, Harris's book is a practical guide for what you can expect when you meditate. He also takes pot shots at the popular meditation gurus, so that kind of satisfies another need of mine. I'll work on that later. Meditation isn't about becoming uber peaceful. I meditate in silence for 10 minutes, and most of that 10 minutes, say 9 minutes of it, is thoughts running through my head. When I realize something is running through my head, I can come back to center by focusing on breathing or focusing on my meditation word, and I begin to let go of the things, the constant stream of thoughts that I'm having. I want to encourage you to try meditation to begin to tame your thoughts, but you've got to give it a chance. Commit to 5 or 10 minutes a day of guided meditation for 6 months. Guided meditation is when somebody is talking and you have your eyes closed and they're telling you what to do, to breathe, to think about a word or music, instead of complete silent meditation. The app I use is called Insight Timer. I use it to track my meditation, to connect with other people who are meditating. I have friends on there. But it also has a lot of options for guided meditations. Finally, developing an inner coach. Everything I've talked about leads us to the fact we don't want to spend the rest of our lives listening to the bad things we say to ourselves. Developing your inner coach requires a combination of all the things I've talked about so far. Meditation, taking time for yourself, journaling, writing down what you're doing, and realizing that you don't have to be perfect. Since most negative thoughts are about things we can't control, or they are centered in the past or the future, being present and aware of what you're thinking becomes essential. Your mind wants you to be the best you can be, and you can't be that unless you're here right now. Look at the list of things you say to yourself. Look over it and think about what state you were in when you thought about it. Were you in fear? Were you in judgment? Anger? Were you thinking about the past or the future? Now turn each one of these statements into a positive coaching question. For me, the voice says, "You're overweight. You're fat." And it's a voice from my past, from when I was 12 years old, and it's a resentment. But the coach asks, what can you do to be healthier? When you change what you're saying to yourself and you turn it into a question, your mind wants to answer that question. What can you do to be healthier? Well, for me, it's tracking everything I eat, going to the gym every day. Remember, we always start small and add small increments to our habits to get where we want to be. Notice my coach doesn't ask what I can do to lose weight. That's not the goal. My goal is to be healthier, and the habits that I have are based on being healthier, not necessarily losing weight. My next voice says, "You sound like a hillbilly when you're doing a podcast." It's a voice from my past, and it is fear. My inner coach asks, how can you present your podcast in the most effective way? That gets answered by taking voice lessons and learning how to give talks through Toastmasters. By turning your inner critic into an inner coach, you can stop treating yourself like a failure and start developing a language to live your passion on purpose. You can free up the negative energy that you're stacking up in front of your success and use it to propel you into a creative masterpiece. I have a friend who talks about how he started to change his inner critic. He would leave his apartment every day to go to the mailbox. He would get halfway to the mailbox and say, "You idiot, how stupid can you be? You left your keys again." Repeated this every day, every day. He said, "One day I had a cognitive thought, and that thought was, you know, maybe I shouldn't talk to myself this way." From that day on, he began to change the way he talked to himself. Today, he is one of the most positive and loving human beings I know. And that comes from the way he changed the way he talked to himself. Changing the way you talk to yourself can change your life. Okay, time for the coaching questions. What are you going to do with what I talked about today? Are you going to journal what you say to yourself and start to look at the way you talk to yourself? Can you start meditating a little bit at a time? Annie Dillard said, "The way you live your day is the way you live your life. Choose today to live your life the way you want to." Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks for sticking around all the way to the end. Please remember to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. I will talk to you in a couple of weeks.